sure we are very much tempted to push a little bit in that direction. Amen. Okay, so we want to enter the water now. We have been we've been enjoying ourselves on the shores. So we are now going to enter more into the world. Amen. We have been trying to introduce so that our leg will be strong when we go into the water. So we are going to go into deeper waters now. You know, the Bible talks about milk, strong meat, but meat, strong meat, and bone. They are different ones, so they are all the world. Amen. So we are being with milk and with some strong meat. But you know, we need, because there are very bad devils now. Very, very bad ones. Very bad ones. So we need strength to be able to tie them down and give them a chair to sit. I say you're not going anywhere. So we need strength. Amen. So I'm sure you won't mind if we enter more into the waters. We'll go into more strong meat and some bones. You know, need some bones. Amen. So we are speaking about Christ in the soul, and by that we mean life, the life of God, the oil in the soul, and the purpose of that is that God wants to take over the whole soul. So I'm going to explain two principles. I don't know how else to say it. I will explain two basic workings of God on the soul that will help us move further. The first scripture, the first one I'd like to talk about is taken from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8. Who's ready for us? Read from verse 6 to 13. 6 to 13. Hebrews 8:6.
For now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he has obtained a better promise. For if that first covenant has been forfeited, then should no faith have been sought for the second. For when you God is dead, he said, behold, the king is come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant in the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand, lead them out of the land of Egypt. Yeah. a new covenant he has made with us. He has made a fresh soul. Now that he is dead and walking over the
country. Amen. So he's speaking about the new and the old covenant. I'm sure you understand. It's very easy now to follow. The first covenant is the natural. Okay? Or the natural covenant, natural people, history. Okay, but even with that, it was powerful. Okay? It was powerful. And remember, we talked about the three dimensions: the natural, the spiritual, and the fullness of the spiritual, isn't it? So now, the first covenant, natural, of course, we see it at the natural plane. Okay? It's good for us, but not too very good. Therefore, we must look to the Spirit. So God Himself is looking to the Spirit. And what's the Spirit? He must make a covenant with the soul. Amen. And the covenant with the soul is what? Say, I will put my law in your mind. Amen. So somebody is about to receive a new mind. You see it? So it is the mind of Christ warring against my mind. So when you receive the blood, what you have said, you have signed up. My mind must change. You know when we talk of mind, my mind. You know, Abraham, it was his mind, isn't it? God said, your country mind, your tribal mind, your family mind. So you see, those three levels had to change. Okay? So, when we are speaking about Christ, you are speaking about this covenant. That means Christ is coming in, and he wants to what? Take over the mind. The mind must change. So that means a believer in my walk with God, my mind must be changing. So I'm exchanging the mind of Christ for my own mind, the way I think, the way I respond, the way I reason. You know, there must be a change. So if I'm in the place where I'm not changing, then there is a problem. That means I am not growing. My mind must be changing. Because the new covenant says, I will put my law. Now, based on what I said, what is the problem with that? If the law of God doesn't get to my mind, darkness is there already. And the darkness is increasing within the mind. Amen. So we don't have time. Because the darkness is increasing. It's increasing within the mind. The God says, I must change that darkness. I must bring. So gospel is coming home. It's not head knowledge. It's not I know tabernacle. All those ones are in this language. Those ones are in the, it's over now. Amen. Because when cancer comes knocking on the door, tabernacle is no longer history. Tabernacle has to be a reality. Amen. To break through the power of cancer, the power of disease, sickness, calamity, you know, midnight when it comes, tribulation when it comes. Okay, midnight when it comes, and tribulation when it comes. Alright? So, God said, the covenant I'm making is not for just history. I know tabernacle, I know this one, I know this one. That history is still a natural. This man must know tabernacle. This man must become the tabernacle. Amen. This man, this soul, my mind must be God's house. God's dwelling place. The presence of God, the glory of God must be there. Amen. That's when it becomes a reality. Amen. So it says, I will make a new covenant. I will put a new. So the New Testament is about my mind. If you didn't hear anything I said this weekend, I want you to understand it. That the new covenant is about my mind. God is taking over my mind. So if after 1 month my mind has not changed, something there's a problem. Talk of 2 months, 3 months, my mind is still where it is. Alright, so there must be a change in my way of thinking. And let me just say this, maybe we'll talk about, I think we'll talk about it tomorrow more, but let me just bring this in. The mind functions in levels. Whether you want to use the word level, frequency, rhyme, anyone you like. The mind, like we have been here now since yesterday to today. You can see your mind is no longer where it was before Friday, isn't it? That's right. When you come into fellowship, your mind rises. So the word of God takes the mind up. When you leave the word of God, it comes back. They that wait upon the Lord will do what? They will mount up. So it says, and it's like, so is my word that goes out and does not come back. It will bring, it must prosper in the thing. So when God sends the word, it's to bring the mind to Him, because He said, you present to Himself a glorious church. So, you know, so it's the word that brings us unto God. So what I'm saying is that I can make my mind rise in God. Amen. I can keep my mind always in a high place. So if somebody tells you your mind is not true, the devil is telling you you cannot go up in God, it's not true. You can arise in God, and you can keep arising in God, and you can remain in a high place in God. Amen. If you do the right things with the right mind. Amen. So the man saw a ladder. Yeah, you know that man? Yeah? Jesus saw a ladder. Angels do what? Climbing up. And do what? Amen. You are the angel. You can climb up in God. The tabernacle, that's the step now. Each one is higher, higher, higher. Amen. So each step you take, you are high, you are rising in God. You are rising, climbing higher. You know, so tomorrow we'll talk about the practicals. How do we bring the mind and keep it in a high place in God? Amen. Yes. The other principle I wanted to explain is the principle of Christ. It is very important. Christ. When we say Christ, what is Christ? Who is Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? What does Christ mean? What is it? Is it just a thing we just measure? Amen. Is there a difference between Jesus and Christ? Or are they the same thing? Alright, we must understand that. Okay, because it is the Spirit of Christ, that seed of Christ that we receive. And that is going to grow in us. So we must understand what we are talking about. What, you know, it must be very clear. Now, let me read this. There's a scripture in, 1 Corinthians 11 that tells us the order of Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:3.
What I want to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is Obama, and the head of Christ is
Jesus. Do you hear it? The head of every man is what? And the head of every woman is what? And the head of Christ is what? Amen. The head of Christ is God. Hallelujah. When the Bible talks about Christ, it's speaking about men. It's speaking about a group of people, a body of people. And the head of that, the first person in that creation of God called Christ is the head of it, and that is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read first Ephesians 1:21. There's a body of Christ. Who are men? And the head of those people, whose head is God? That head is the man Jesus Christ. No. Read from 20. No, Ephesians 1:20.
Which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the throne right at the end.
Okay, hold on. So he said Christ was raised up. Christ died. And we know who died. Who was it that died? for Jesus. So he is Christ because he is the head. He is the identity of Christ. Amen. So he is the head. Alright, there are no two heads, there's one head, and he is Christ. So he said he died and was raised up. So he's describing him very, very well, and we know who he is. Okay. So he's describing it. So he's saying Jesus is the head of this body. And he says that body is what? The church. Do you understand? So the church is speaking about the body of Christ. And it also tells us in this scripture that the head of that body is what? Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you speak of Christ, you're speaking of head and body. Hallelujah. Now, the head of the body has not traveled. He hasn't traveled. Anytime his body meets, the head is there. Is that correct? So we are two or three are gathered. What's happening? So Jesus is here. Amen. Now, me and you, we have been having a few days. We don't behave anyhow. Oh, come to church. We don't do anything. Do you know why? Because we thought he has traveled. He has been observing every one of us. He has been watching us, seeing all that we are doing. And he knows that we are blind. Say, who is blind but my servant, isn't it? We just be behaving anyhow, talking anyhow, do anything. We get up, do anything we want to the church. Yeah, we are end time, we are free, isn't it? But Jesus has not traveled. Anytime the church gathers, where is he? Amen. So he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlestick. So the authority of Jesus is not transferred. He didn't transfer it to Paul or Peter and say, I'm going somewhere. No. He only said, go and preach. And why they were even meeting? He came in the midst, isn't he? He came inside the midst. Why they were meeting? He came and met them and began to minister to them. He took control. He encouraged them. He moved. So there is no situation in the church that the head is not aware of and doesn't have the capacity to take care of. Amen. Amen. All this time we'll be thinking that we'll just go anyhow. So they advise us, we better take care. Because the head is there. Hallelujah. And I was sharing yesterday, there was something that God was showing me. You know, I said I was seeing something in the spirit. I can't describe it to you. But what I was seeing was that God was showing me that in every believer there is gold. There is the oil. I can't describe it. I even feel it. I feel the oil running. Amen. Yeah. There is, no matter who you are, how small you are a Christ in you. Hallelujah. And as I'm talking, the Christ in me is ministering to the Christ in you. Don't you understand? And there is a flow of life and energy. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. That's why when you go, you feel stronger because the Christ is built up, raised up. Hallelujah. Now, if not for anything, I can at least speak to that. I can at least respect my brother because of the Christ in him. Don't you understand? Amen. Yes, his body may not look fine. He may not have money. He may not have eaten this morning, but there is Christ in him. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says we have this treasure where? In earth. Have you seen earth before? Some are like clay, some are like sand, some are ugly, some are fine. So however it is, there is still gold in it. Amen. So at least we can appreciate the gold in one another. That's what I'm seeing, though. I'm beginning to see the gold. Amen. Hallelujah. So in the body, every part of the body submits to the head. Amen. So God said to Nigerian Christians, when Brother Sens came, he said three things to us. He said the Nigerian Christians must overcome what? So he said Nigerian Christians must be aware of three things. One, divisions. The spirit of division, divisions. Yes, that's one. Dividing, divisions. How many tribes do you have in Nigeria now? It's growing, you know, there are over 400 now. Every year they are multiplying tribes. Eh? Now you are six. And they formed another one. There's a new one called Rondel. Have you heard of that one? There's a new one, Rondel. Rondel has landed. Biafra came. Rondel has landed. Oduduwa is coming. And the other one is coming. Divisions. Amen. If God allows it, praise God. But that necessarily will not solve the problem. We must overcome divisions. And that division is in the church. Amen. They didn't know where it is. It's in my heart. It's easy to see the division in another brother's heart. He says, that brother has division. But if you are wise, you will see it in your heart. Hallelujah. So God is calling me, to submit to my brother. Do you know what I'm submitting to? I'm submitting to the Christ in him, the head. Amen. Yeah. Apart from that, the head is also in our midst. Amen. So, Christ, there is Christ as a person at the right hand of God. One. Two, there is a Christ in the midst of us. Hallelujah. There is a Christ that is in us individually. Amen. And these three dimensions of Christ that is feeding and ministering and leading is and overshadowing us. Hallelujah. Amen. So you must believe it. You must believe it. Christ lives in you. Amen. And he is in our midst. And he is there as the head of the church. He's the candlestick. He's the central pillar. Hallelujah. And everything else is coming, and you know, everything that is flowing from the church. Hallelujah. So now that is speaking of one aspect of Christ. Now look at the other aspect of Christ. What does Christ mean? Christ means, according to the Greeks, it means the anointed one. That's what it means. Christos means the anointed one. What does it mean to anoint something? They are all anointed with what? Amen. The Greek, the original Hebrew say Hamashiach. Some people corrupt it and say Messiah. Okay, whatever, however you take it, but you know, it means to anoint. Now, according to the language of the scripture, to anoint means to take oil and rub on something. Amen. That's what it means to anoint. Guys, you anoint this table. You anoint, and you know those days when they anoint this table, the table becomes holy. Can you imagine? They put oil on the table, and that table becomes holy. How much more when God rubs his nature on you? Would you become holy? Amen. Hallelujah. So the principle of Christ is oil on something. Is that also good? So let's go to Matthew 1. What does Matthew 1 say? Matthew said, you will have a son. To the woman, have a son. And you will call the name what? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Christos. Emmanuel means Christos. How does it mean? Emmanuel means Christos. It means God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is coming to you in your situation, Emmanuel. He's not in the head. He's saying, if I am in trouble, he is a present help in trouble. That's what Emmanuel means. That's what Christ means. So it means God in man. God in my mind. God in my emotion. God in my desire. That means every part of me, God wants to rub himself. He wants to integrate himself. In fact, he wants to take it over. He wants to overshadow. In fact, he says mortality will be swallowed up by life. That is the principle of Christ. Hallelujah. So, in the church, in the language of the Bible, God is not interested in problems. In fact, the more problems there are, better for him. Amen. You must say, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. God's problem is not my problem. Because what is impossible with men? What happens? It is impossible with God. Hallelujah. It's possible with God. Hallelujah. So when my problem starts, that's when my problem starts and I can no longer handle it. That's when God comes into the situation. Amen. It's called Emmanuel. It's called Christ. Do you understand? In reality, that's God coming into my situation. Hallelujah. That is saying in Isaiah 51, say, who is he that has no light, that dwells in no light, doesn't know God? What should he do? Let him stay upon his God and do what? Wait upon God. The Bible says, unto the righteous there arise a light in darkness. If you have darkness, know that God is very, very close to you. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, what does it say? The very first verse in the scripture. The Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the light, it was the word. The word was with God. Sorry, I'm quoting another one. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Amen. And what? There was darkness. Darkness didn't start today. But after that, end up now. And the Spirit of God was the what? Was in control of the darkness. What is darkness, my friend? You can't pass here. You can't pass here. It's controlled. So when you see darkness, it's a controlled expression. When darkness went to Job, was it not controlled? You say, my friend, you cannot go here. You cannot go there. You cannot go there. Amen. This one you can do. This one you can do. Are you in darkness? Are you facing darkness? It's controlled. Amen. By the way, if there is famine, there must be an end to the famine. There is no famine that is continuous. Whenever there is famine, it starts and ends. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when the Bible talks about Christ, he's speaking about God in man. He's speaking about Emmanuel. Now, let's look at the first man, Adam. What happened to him? God took earth, is it not? And rubbed himself on the earth. How did he rub himself? He breathed into the earth. But God came into the earth. He anointed the earth. And he became a living soul. Don't you understand? You see the same principle. First Adam, God came into the earth. Second Adam, God came into the earth. This last Adam now, me and you, God is coming into the earth. Amen. You must believe it. He is coming to my house. He is coming to this dwelling place. And he is coming to make it. He said, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell. Amen. Amen. So if you and I do not believe what we are preaching, then we don't have any hope. I must believe that God must be real to my situation. Amen. So my problem is not the darkness coming, it's not the destruction coming. My problem is, say, God, fill my soul, oh God. Amen. Let all the glory of God come. Let their glory come. My challenge is open the windows of heaven. Let all the energy and river of God come and change my soul. Hallelujah. When the darkness comes, the darkness will be bread for me. Amen. You make our enemies to be bread for us. So the trouble will make you rise higher. So you see, who was it? Noah. Noah was there. The flood was coming. Was Noah afraid of the flood? No. It was inside the ark. The flood is the same thing as the tribulation. The ark is the same thing as Christ. So Adam was, Noah was inside the ark. The flood was coming. As the thing was coming, it was pushing it higher. So the troubles that God allows to come to us, the gossip he allows to come to you, the bad news he allows to come, the people that took us in our relationship, God put them there. Amen. Now we might climb up higher. Hallelujah. But we are missing the opportunities. We need ourselves. You need some brothers who are like very sharp. They poke you, you run away. I don't know if you come back to say, my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we find that this principle of Christ is very, very, very important. So, I've defined those two because I have to go ahead. So, we understand what Christ means. It's a many-membered body. Men in whom the fullness of God have been expressed. Number one, a man called Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. After him are coming other men who will also have the fullness of God. Amen. By the way, let's read it it's important to read it. Colossians 2:9. So that you can see where I'm going to. So for in him dwelleth what? All the fullness of the Godhead what? Bodily. Can the fullness of God dwell in a man? Yes. That's what Christ means. Amen. So you cannot be talking of Christ and the fullness of God. My house is the fullness of God. My emotion should be the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So it says, if the Son comes to you, there cannot be any darkness. It says that the Son of righteousness will do what? Will arise. With what? Healing in his wings. Amen. If the sun is rising, every depression, every crisis of that, so of our young people, you are confused. You don't know who you want to be like. You want to be like this. You want to be like this. Can I recommend somebody you can be like? His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Follow him as your identity. Hallelujah. And you'll be confident. Amen. You'll be confident. You'll enjoy your youth. You dress in righteousness. You dress like a Christian believer. You don't need to allow other people to define what beauty is, what right dressing is, or what all those things. You don't need those things. Amen. Because you are confident. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. So as a young person, you are bold because you know your God. They that know their God shall be what? Strong. They do their exploit. And as a believer, you know you'll be the head and not the tail. Excel in your academics. You will excel in everything that comes your way because of Christ that dwelleth and that strengtheneth you. Amen. We can do all things through Christ. Even those of us who are adults, we need to get our identity right. Our identity is Christ. I tell people, I don't have identity crisis. I have nothing to prove. Because Jesus has already proved everything to me. Amen. I know where my strength is. Amen. My strength is in Christ. I'm not proving anything to anybody. Hallelujah. Even as brethren, we must not prove anything to anybody. Amen. If yesterday I was stealing on the road, praise God, today I'm not stealing. Today I'm in the house of God. And I don't have to prove to you that I'm in the house of God because I'm there. Amen. It's God's business to prove good things to you, not me. Hallelujah. Most of the time, we spend time trying to prove that we are brethren. We don't need that. Amen. Leave that to God. God will prove. God will bring a witness. Hallelujah. Of what he's doing in you. So if our identity is Christ, is right, if we have Christ as our head, when you see, it's a man's head that determines his identity, is it not? Amen. The wife, in fact, Bible said that Christ feeds the church. So husband, love your wife and nourish your church. Every man nourishes his body, is it not? Amen. Our identity, wherever it must come from the head. Hallelujah. When we begin to labor, we are so self-conscious. Then we have cut off from the head. So we must do this and do that because we are laboring. You know, but when we come into rest, we know that Christ is all and in all. Amen. A brother says, if you want husband, it's in Christ. If you want wife, where do you find? In Christ. Amen. If you want success, where do you find it? In Christ. I don't need any motivational speaker to tell me, focus. I'm not focused on anything. Christ is my success. Don't you understand? It's already, I'm looking at my focus is already defined in Christ. Amen. I don't need anybody to motivate me to do anything. They need progress and they go around having conferences and making money. Amen. So I already have my Proverbs to motivate me and give me principles of success. Hallelujah. So anything you want, you see, principles of management, principles of overcoming, principles of cancer, anything. If you are a child, if you are a husband, if you are a wife, whatever class you find, all my springs are in thee, O God. Amen. And we're not speaking grammar, it's asking about reality. And that reality is called Christ. God in my situation. Amen. Now, many of us are afraid of it because we don't want to walk into Christ. Because if you say God is in your hands, you must show the evidence now. There must be evidence that God is in your situation. So, because we're not too sure, we don't mention it much. Because we are in control. But when Christ is in control, there will be an evidence. There will be an evidence that God is in the situation. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Christ comes into the soul, and that experience, you call it born again, we have made it a religious experience. But it's a covenant, it's a reality. That the seed of life comes into the soul. Now, that is speaking of so many things. It's speaking of so many dimensions. But let's just look at one or two of them, then we will close. Now, to properly understand, you need to go to Egypt. We need to take a tour to Egypt. What is it that happened in Egypt? It says, at midnight, everybody is coming out. Hallelujah. So, there is a journey that is starting at midnight. And that journey, for Israel, it was a natural experience. They came out of Egypt at midnight. Now, this word you see here must come to midnight. Because midnight will produce the first son of darkness. If not, the devil will still make noise. He says, you didn't allow me time. So, the word and everything the devil wants to do must come to fullness. Amen. That means me and you must get ready. Because it also means that the fullness of God is also going to come forth. Don't you understand? Because at midnight, the first son of God also came forth. Hallelujah. So at midnight, there'll be two sons. The son of darkness and the son of light. Hallelujah. God has no problem with the son because he is fully formed. He is in control of the situation. In Goshen, there was no darkness. Don't you understand? As there was darkness in the world, Goshen, there was heavy light. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at the example. You are coming out of Egypt. They follow them. The same light. To the people of Egypt, it was darkness. They slowed down. To the people of God, it was fluorescent light. Amen. Do you understand? The same situation. Somebody, it has killed the person. The same situation, you, it has taken you to heaven. It's called light. Hallelujah. Amen. So, there is no situation that comes to you that can overcome you. If not, God will not even let it near you. The fact that it has come to you means you have the capacity to what? Overcome it. I thought I would hear a big amen. 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 Anything that comes your way means one, you have the ability to overcome it. Amen. So it should give you confidence. Because God will never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to take. Hallelujah. So they were coming, like God was there. He wasn't travel. Did God travel? He was right there. And he came in as darkness to the people of the world and as light to the people of God. Hallelujah. While this one was progressing, this one was busy. And even when the thing opened, they ended up in the sea. God buried them and went ahead. Amen. Hallelujah. But there is a reality of the power of God. And I'm praying that I will come into that reality. I will come into that reality of God. Hallelujah. Where I can walk with God, I can hear what God is saying, I can respond to God, and so on. You know, so, the first principle of Passover is that it must take place at midnight. and we are already in it. Not the fullness of that of midnight, but we are in the season of midnight. Amen. We are in the season. We are in the time of darkness, the hour of darkness. When darkness has more upper hand. Do you see in the world that darkness has more upper hand now? Homosexuality, gay, everywhere, evil. You are right, driving along the road, somebody is facing you, that is his talent. Hey, that's darkness. Amen. I hope we don't get caught into that. Amen. So evil is running, death is walking on the road. I was just saying, Brother Chima, for that court, the people who are involved in court killing are secondary school, primary school. It's no longer campus. Campus is whole story. Campus is whole story. Everywhere. Amen. Darkness is growing wings. So I hope there's no person here say I'm a small child. They say one, I'm Robert. He was started arm robbery at 5 years. He's any 5-year-old child here, and he said junior. Junior must sit down and listen to the word of God. Junior must read scripture. Psalm 119, cram it and recite it by heart. We are there pampering our children. Others are carrying guns. Amen. So these children must be strong in the Lord. Amen. Come down and say, Junior did this. The amazed are armed robbers on the road. Amen. And the same darkness is going to attack them. Amen. Hallelujah. So those days of saying this will happen, they are in the past. Because darkness has grown wings. So we must also get up and train our children differently. By the way, in China, the whole New Testament is in the head. They don't read, they don't carry Bible on when they go to fellowship. They recite it. I don't know if you're with me. Huh? They recite the New Testament. That's the only way now. Because if they see you, you're gone. They kill you. So when they get the Bible, they recite it and throw away the Bible. And we're here excusing ourselves for not reading the Bible. We have the written one. We have the one in the tape. We have the one in video. Which other one do you have? You have internet radio, internet Bible, internet message, internet everything. How many have we listened to? Amen. Brother, we need to wake up. Because the darkness is increasing. And the mind is being loaded with all kinds of junk. If you belong to 20 WhatsApp group, that means every hour you will get 10 messages. At the end of the day, you have 200 messages on WhatsApp waiting for you. You people are doing that, so you don't read it. Now, I know you read it. I know you have. Because me, I have. Amen. And you must read every one of them. Meanwhile, you have not read your Bible for that day. Hallelujah. More load on the mind. The mind is thinking, oh my God, won't this man let me alone and give me the Bible? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so there is a reality we have to get into. And that reality is that darkness is on the increase. And the firstborn of darkness is about to come forth. You know, firstborn, that means the strength of it. God must allow the strength to come so I can break it and there won't be any more argument. Hallelujah. The person to break it is you and I. We must drive the darkness out of our soul. Nobody is going to do it for us. And it is when we do it that we become sons of God. Don't you understand? Because the Son of God must be born at midnight. That midnight experience, we must ride it. We must overcome it. Amen. So, when there are troubles, it is a training for midnight. Hallelujah. It's not to run away. It's not to give up. It's not to complain. It's rather to go to God. Say, I will go to God, my help coming from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Let me read Psalm 20 for you. Maybe we'll begin to close with that. Psalm 20. I like it very much. Say, the Lord does what? Hear you in the day of trouble. Why would God allow trouble to come? Then he will hear you in it. If not, that the trouble is meant to make us overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord do what? hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, do what? Defend thee. Amen. Send thee help from what? The sanctuary. And do what? Strengthen thee out of Zion. Zion is the church, the people of God. Amen. We cannot pray that the people of God and expect help from Zion. Don't you understand? We must build up Zion because that's where our help will come from. Amen. That's why we must value one another. That's where our strength. We knock down one another because we don't know that that's where our strength is coming from. Hallelujah. When I know my help is coming from Zion, then I will build up Zion. Amen. I will value the brethren. Amen. Grant thee what? According to thy own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will do all, set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all, this is all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord does what? Save it. How will you know if you are not in the trouble? You understand? Now know I that the Lord save it is anointed. Anointed must get into trouble for God to save him. Amen. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's not the problem. But the Lord does what? Deliver it from all. Hallelujah. That means that the affliction is bread. The affliction is a nutrition. The affliction is to make us strong. Hallelujah. Train our muscles. Amen. He will hear thee from his holy heaven and with the seven strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. The righteous running. Are you there? Have you run to the name of the Lord? Is that, are you inside it? Amen. When they're looking for you, they will see the name of the Lord. They will see you. Amen. If they see you, you are not there. If you still have some strength, you have some money in the bank. Amen. You know, this one now is more than money, more than bank. You need another account in heaven, don't you understand? That can come and wipe out the wrong one. Amen. They are brought down and fallen. But look at this now. But we are risen. And what? Stand upright. Amen. Save Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Hallelujah. This is Christ. God in our situation. Amen. So, we have come into reality because midnight is coming. And our gospel is a gospel to prepare the bride, to have oil at midnight. Amen. And we know, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, say, look up, be encouraged, for the redemption draweth nigh. Do you see trouble? Do you see trouble? You don't need to look for it, it's everywhere. Redemption is around the corner. Amen. So we need to make a fresh preparation for fellowship. Amen. We need to get excited about God, about one another. Amen. We need to have a new orientation that is not as it was like before. Amen. That the breakthrough is around the corner. Amen. So at midnight, the people of God are coming out. But there's something else that is happening at midnight. There's a new priest coming at midnight. Amen. It's called Melchizedek. We can't even talk about that one today. But Melchizedek is the firstborn. The firstborn is the Melchizedek. Don't you understand? The firstborn must come out of the mat, the covering now. There is something that prevented the bat. You know, so the firstborn must break through it. So we're looking for men that are going to break through the barrier of sin, barrier of carnality, barrier of this, barrier of that. Amen. And when they break through, they become a priest. So God is going to bring forth a new priesthood on the earth in this midnight. People who will rule and reign with Christ. Amen. At midnight, there's a new birth coming. Now, when you say, you told the man, he said, look, we are coming out. Moses said, no, Pharaoh said, let the men go. Let the women remain. Let the cattle remain. Amen. What did the man say? Everything is going. Hallelujah. Joshua said, myself and my house, we are all going. You know, our Christianity has been that of mouth. Our emotion is in the world. Our desires are in the world. Our mind is in Arsenal and Manchester. What is again? Our will is somewhere else. Amen. So we are physically in church, but the soul is in Egypt. Amen. Midnight will settle it. Because midnight, everybody must come. Hallelujah. So the time has come to bring everything out. You love the Lord with all the soul, all the mind, all the desire. As you pursue money, that's how you pursue fixing the word of God inside your soul. Amen. Say, my heart, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. If you sin, you have not hidden it. Amen. That's the truth. Have we hidden the word of God within us? Have we written? Say, look, God, write your law. Say, I will write my law. Amen. What kind of zeal do we have for the things of God? Amen. He said, say to Archippus, fulfill thy ministry. I don't know who preached one thing to us that when you come end time, there is no ministry. Who told you? God, that there is no more ministry. That you just do it. You don't prepare. You just come. You just share. You sing, I sing. You share, I share. Who told you? There's a calling. There's a ministry. Amen. You have a place. God has a place for you. And you give heed. Say, give heed to the ministry God has called you. Amen. You must know where you stand and you must labor. You must wait on it. If you so play this piano, you must practice it very, very, very well and play it to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You must excel in the house of God. So we say, you know, just the house of God, just come and do. Who said? You must give your best. Hallelujah. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, what you do it very well. Because there is no offering in the beyond. Hallelujah. So we must train our children to be sons of God. Hallelujah. Not to be doctors or lawyers. They must know Bible. They must know God. They must know how to call upon God, receive from God, hear from God, and do the right things and overcome. Amen. So there's a ministry for the women, for the children, for the old men, for the young men. But everybody has their call in God. Amen. There should not be anything lacking in the house of God, because every man stands in his ministry. Hallelujah. So, you know, we are coming to the place where God is speaking about a new song, something new, a refreshing. You know, there is so much to do, so many new things that God can bring forth, so many beautiful things that God can bring. And he says, let there be bringing, you know, into the storehouse of God, let there be plenty. You know, we can bring a lot of resources. Into the other day, I said to the brethren, we must have a WhatsApp group. It didn't make sense. I said, look, instead of waiting to come on Wednesday to bring a prayer point, we can have fellowship on WhatsApp. Amen. And right now, it's such a blessing. Hallelujah. Because at midnight, something is happening. You just do like this. And there are a prayer chain. Hallelujah. Brethren are praying on the WhatsApp. And you are getting your healing immediately. You don't need hospital, because you get healing. There's a response. Hallelujah. Just an example. So we can use technology. We can use it. And it will be a blessing to us. But you see, it's a ministry. There are some of us, God has given us resources to bless the house of God, the people of God. So what are we saying? That at midnight, the church is rising. The sons of God are coming forth. So when we are coming out complete. Young people, old people, coming out complete. All the young people are looking at me. This is not your father's church. It's your church. So if you're a young person, raise your hand and say, this is my church. You knock your hand as I'm knocking it on your table. This is my church. Are you not doing it like me? This is my church. Amen. So you'll not be waiting for mommy. You come here and wave hand, read Bible, quote scripture, prepare a message, and share in exhortation. Amen. You see, you're not even saying amen. Amen. This is not daddy's church. It's my church. It's my God. Amen. Do you have a God? If you have a God, then you serve him. Hallelujah. You shouldn't be ashamed of God because you know him. You know him. You know him. You hear his voice. He speaks to you. You seek his face. If you have a problem, you go to him. I want to understand this math. Say, God, please show me how to understand this lesson that was taught. And you get a dream in the night, and somebody will teach you in the dream. Amen. When others are struggling, you are teaching, you are passing by revelation. Don't you understand? It happens. God give you the score of the thing. You go there, you get 100%, finish halfway, you drop the paper and go your way because you saw the dream. So there is nothing that God cannot do. At midnight, the church must wake up. Amen. So I think we'll come to an end today, tomorrow. Will end, but in summary, we are saying that God is putting oil in the church. He's opening the taps. He's cleaning the pipes. Amen. And he's feeding the church. You know, Zechariah showed us. Said there was a pipe that had connections and oil. They were feeding it, and the oil was running all over. I believe that when we connect to God, the energy crisis will come to an end. Hallelujah. The energy crisis will come to an end. No more knocking of engine. Our emotions will not come under stress. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are there. We can see God. How can you see God when you cannot, when you cannot, you know, we can't feel him. Hallelujah. Our senses must be alive. Amen. We must see him. When others don't see him, we must be able to see him. So there is a visitation, I believe, that God has determined for the church. And I believe that this is a time to be excited. It's a time to recommit ourselves to the things of God. It's a time to oil the machine again. Amen. It's a time, you know, of restoration, of jubilee, when there must be a coming back. Of course, we know that there has been the experience of the prodigal son going very far. Hallelujah. The last time I was intimate with God may have been 2 years ago. It could be worse than that. Amen. You are intimate with God. That's you. You know what that intimacy means. But God is restoring the intimacy. Amen. You know, he said the years of the canker worm and the locust, God will restore the years of it. Amen. The locust comes to eat green. That means tenderness in relationships. Tenderness from hearing God. Tenderness in fellowship. Don't you understand? Everything is hard, hard, dry, dry. They say, God, you say, I will restore the years of the locust. Amen. He will bring you back again. And there will be richness, there will be green. Father, we thank you for granting us such a time in your presence. In your presence, we are fulfilled. In your presence, we can bring a love song offering. Your presence, I am content. In your presence. presence, I am content. In your presence, there is life, expression of the love, revelation of the Father. Yeah.